right, folks, welcome back. It is 5 o'clock Central Time here on April 1st, and we are eagerly awaiting the launch of the Artemis rocket to and around the moon, supposedly. And if that happens while we're live, we'll certainly go to it. It is something to note. We are still capable of great things. We can never tear ourselves away from the misery and chaos we seem obsessed with causing all around us. We could reach for the stars. It is possible, and that's worth reminding ourselves. Now, we'll keep an eye on that. We're also going to keep an eye on President Trump's big announcement that should be coming up later today. But I'll be joined shortly by Tiffany Cianci with some exclusive information about pesticides and some communication she's been in with some of the people on Capitol Hill. I'm going to start with a short report by her. So we'll go now to this Tiffany Cianci video. And when we get back after a short commercial break, I'll be joined by Tiffany Cianci herself with some exclusive information you're not going to find anywhere else. Here's the teaser for you.
Up, America, horrifying news out of the state of Kansas, as now pesticide companies cannot be held responsible even if their products cause people harm. So the state of Kansas has ruled on the side of Bayer Monsanto, saying that they deserve a liability shield so people cannot sue Bayer Monsanto in the state of Kansas if pesticides cause them health problems. So even if the pesticides cause cancer, neurological problems, liver failure, you cannot sue Bayer Monsanto now in the state of Kansas. Now, this bill was passed by Republicans because Bayer Monsanto had been lobbying the state of Kansas for months, but the Democrat governor of Kansas was set to veto the bill. However, the Republican supermajority overruled the governor. And now in the state of Kansas, if pesticides cause harm to you, you cannot be compensated for that. The pesticide companies are immune from litigation. They have a shield now. So if you're working in the farm fields using Roundup and you get liver disease from the Roundup, it's not Roundup's fault, it's your fault. You get cancer from using their product, they didn't warn you with the label, that's not their fault. It's somehow your fault. Little kid gets a neurological disorder from being exposed to too many pesticides. Guess what? You cannot sue Bayer Monsanto, nor can you be compensated. You get sick and you pay for it yourself, and then you fucking die. Eat shit, ass. Pieces of legislation backed by Bayer Monsanto, giving them a shield so you can't sue them or get compensation if their products cause you harm. Also, they're trying to do that at the Supreme Court. Arguments being held at the end of this month. The pesticide company Bayer Monsanto that makes Roundup are doing everything in their power to make sure that they're not held responsible if their products make you sick. They don't even want to update the labels saying it might cause harm. They want to pretend everything is good. Even if Newick, they want a liability shield so they don't have to tell the general public. That's what they're fighting for right now. And the state of Kansas, the Republicans there, drank the Kool-Aid. The people's voice in this country doesn't even matter at this point. It's whatever corporations and lobbyists want. That's it. You have no voice whatsoever. It doesn't matter if you vote Democrat, Republican, socialist, communist, fascist. Doesn't even matter. You have no voice at all. They're just going to circumvent you. 95% we're circumventing you and doing what the 5% want. That's what America is now. And if you don't believe it, let me ask you, when was the last time your voice was heard and anything you wanted got done in America? The answer is almost never. And since now pesticide companies are immune from litigation, it probably will make you sick.
Yeah, I think he's right. Yeah, no, I get exactly what that guy's saying. It's happening on the national level. It's happening on the state level. We're under a constant barrage. The America itself and our people are under concerted, universal attack. And we'll tell you how to fight back on the other side with Tiffany Cianci. Don't go anywhere, folks.
I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it.
This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. I just can't shut up about it.
This stuff works.
Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
From the front lines of the information war, this is the War Room with Harrison Smith. Join the battle now on Band.video and X worldwide.
All right, folks, there's the live footage of the Artemis spacecraft that will soon be taking American astronauts to the dark side of the moon, where I vacation. Very exciting stuff. A reminder that if we felt like it, that this could be what we turn all of our energy towards. Wouldn't that be something? Exploring space, achieving great things, conquering unknown vistas. No. Instead, we're being bankrupt by Somali scammers, going to war in Iran for a foreign state, and now it's legal to poison us, apparently. So we're going to talk about that with Tiffany Cianci. We're getting connected with her right now. In the meantime, I'd like to go to a few stories here that don't really fit in with our other topics. And this first one, I'd like to go to clip 44 after this, but the report from NBC News as of yesterday says Medicaid cuts threaten hundreds of hospitals, new report finds. So more than 400 hospitals, they say, across the United States are at high risk of closing or cutting services because of the Medicaid cuts in President Donald Trump's Big Beautiful Bill. According to, get this, an analysis from progressive watchdog group Public Citizen. Okay. Oh, the progressive Democrats have said that Trump's cuts are hurting people. I guess we can't do it anymore. Here's the problem, though. NBC themselves made a report 2 years ago, 3 years ago at this point, 2023, about the real reason that hospitals were overloaded and going bankrupt. Let's go to clip 44 here.
We're back now with a record number of migrants crossing into the U.S., pushing resources to the limit in many American cities. Now hospitals are sounding the alarm, saying they're also overwhelmed, including some far from the border. Julia Ainsley has our report.
Tonight, the border crisis surging. Officials telling NBC News there were over 200,000 illegal crossings at the southern border last month.
Remember what
and
it was
a record
like in
3 million migrants crossed the border in the last year. Now, a new warning, 1,000 miles away in New York City, where officials tell us resources are overwhelmed. Across public hospitals in New York City over the last year, nearly 30,000 visits by migrants and 300 new babies born to migrant moms. Staff here at Bellevue Hospital tell us they're eager to help, but the numbers are tough.
This has been the hardest work that I've ever done, but it's been the most impactful work that I've ever done.
And most of the visits to the taxpayer-funded legal clinic here are by migrants.
Our clinics are full, and there are waiting lists, and people are turning people away or referring them to other places.
Randy Redkin from New York's Legal Assistance Group says so many migrants are asking for legal help on asylum representation and health care access. Now, she says, American citizens who need legal assistance with issues like eviction and insurance have to wait up to 10 weeks.
If you ask me, do we need more resources for legal services? I would say absolutely yes.
Meanwhile, New York's governor now slamming the situation at the border.
It is too open right now. People coming from all over the world are finding their way through, simply saying they need asylum.
And New York Mayor Eric Adams saying providing services for migrants will cost city taxpayers $12 billion. But Biden administration officials have blamed Adams' response. It is not an operationally sound effort, one senior DHS official told NBC News. Meanwhile, migrants on the streets are desperate for city help. We met Orlando, who fled violence in Venezuela. He didn't want to appear on camera, telling us he slept on the street before coming to Bellevue for cancer treatment.
How is that for you, given your medical condition, to be sleeping on the street?
You have to make believe it's a good bed, a king size, and you lie down wherever and go to sleep, he says. Orlando tells us he came to New York because he heard about the social services the city would offer to migrants like himself, who were trying to start a new life.
The Biden administration recently granted temporary legal status to nearly 500,000 Venezuelans, allowing them to work. Today, Governor Hochul announced there are 18,000 jobs now available to eligible migrants.
Thanks for watching. Stay updated.
Thanks for watching. Stay updated on how the Biden administration is systematically destroying your country. And we're covering for him. Remember, y'all, just that was a little trip back to the past, what it used to be like in old 2023. Outrageous, insane, treasonous, every single part of that, everybody involved needs to be charged with something. So that's actually the problem. The actual problem with America's hospitals is not that they're inefficient. Well, they are deeply inefficient. Actually, there's another problem on top of all of it, which if we come to .cam, the 3,000% growth in administrators versus doctors. HHS cuts target the real problem. So yeah, this chart, this is growth over time, starting from 1970 to 2009. You can see the number of physicians basically remained entirely flat, like hardly raises at all. Meanwhile, the administrators looks like friggin' Mount Everest over here. This is the problem. Like, we have this thing in America where you look at just the latest bill versus the money that we have, and it's like, oh my God, we need more money. Well, what about the bill? What is added to this bill? How about we go back in time and we undo some of the problems that got us to this point? The hospitals in America, like, we're America. We are the pioneers of modern hospital technology the world over. Like, it has nothing to do with us. It has nothing to do with us. If Americans were left alone, our hospitals would continue to be the best in the world. They'd also be incredibly cheap and affordable and efficient and available for you at any time. Instead, what's happened is you had Obamacare come in and make insurance utterly unaffordable for anybody because you gave a blank check to the insurance companies to write to themselves, charging whatever the hell they want for whatever the hell they want. And they're in cooperation with the hospitals when they do this. This is how you get things like, you know, $20 for a aspirin pill because no real human being's having to pay for it. The insurance company is, you know, billing you over time and that cost will be spread out. They'll get their money. Hospitals get their money. All of this facilitated by the interruption of business by the government coming in and trying to make it cheaper for everybody. Excuse me, made it significantly worse for everybody. But then on top of that, you have migrants coming in who don't pay for healthcare. For them, there's universal healthcare in America. Not for you. If you go to the hospital, you'll be stuck with a medical bill. You'll have to go bankrupt if you can't pay for it, or you'll be denied your pre-existing conditions. For the illegal immigrants that come in, they go to the hospital, they get whatever the hell they need, then they walk out, and the bill gets sent to you. They set this up to be this way. And of course, the incentive for the migrants becomes go to the hospital for whatever. It literally costs them nothing. So now if you fall off a ladder and break your leg and are sitting in the waiting room with extreme pain, you know, trying to get your body fixed, you're sitting behind 50 illegal immigrants who are there because they have the sniffles. Why wouldn't they go to the ER? Like, we have to think about it. Right? Americans have to go, ooh, is this worth the $1,000 ambulance ride and the $2,000 hospital stay? Is it really that big, or can I walk this off, or can I, you know, book my doctor in a month and still be okay then? We actually have to take that into consideration. You wouldn't have to if it was free. And by free, I mean somebody else paying for it. So, but we don't look at any of this. It's like, how did the hospital become insolvent? Well, participation of the government, the expansion of Medicaid, the fact that they're allowing illegal immigrants to take advantage of our system. And I believe in California, I think I have this right, what they would do would be basically hide the fact that it was an illegal alien. And they would basically charge all of the illegal alien stuff through Medicaid or Medicare, basically pretending like it was what they needed just for Americans treatment. They just hide where the money was actually going, that it was going to people who don't qualify for these things. But we don't look at any of that. For some reason, we cannot possibly go back and say, how did we get to this point? It's like all we can do is just provide more money as a patch on the problem, which means we're never getting to the underlying fundamental disconnect at play, which means the problems are only going to get worse, especially when you have everything that contributed to the insolvency of the modern medical system only getting worse over time, only being exacerbated, only with more and more migrants coming in and taking advantage of our system and doing it because they want to take advantage of our system. Like in that, you know, video report you just saw, it's like, oh, he came here because he knew that New York would treat his cancer. Like, doesn't everywhere else in the world have, aren't we constantly being told that America is this evil, unique country that doesn't have universal health care? How about we just send them all to Canada? How about if they want to have universal health care, we have a next door neighbor that provides such a service. What if everybody who comes to America and goes to an American hospital gets put in a vacuum tube and shot straight to Canada? I think that would be a good solution because, in effect, they're like forcing us to have the worst parts of universal health care. We pay endlessly for universal health care for people who never paid into it in the first place, have never paid taxes here in America. What the hell are we doing? Everything is like this. Why is literally everything like this? Where's the reset button? How do we power down for a decade and then power back up? Because our problem is that we're working with a legacy system, essentially. Especially if you're like a computer programmer or, you know, if you, it's always easier to start with a blank slate, right? The old joke, how did God create the world in 7 days? Well, he wasn't working with a legacy system. He didn't have to figure out all of the nuances that had been established over decades that don't make any sense anymore, whether it's the birthright citizenship law or the healthcare situation. It's like somehow, and it's weird because it's almost always the Democrats who are doing this. And there's a phenomenon almost in which whatever the Democrats put into place just becomes permanent. And it's like unthinkable to even suggest that we could undo it at some point. That's what happened with the Supreme Court, or it wasn't a Supreme Court, but the state court decision today about immigration. And saying basically, well, you know, the Biden administration decided all of a sudden to create an app so people could circumvent the asylum system by clicking a button on their phone. And there's no precedent for him to be able to do that. There's nothing about this app that qualifies people for asylum. They literally just decided to not enforce the law they're obligated to enforce. And now we can't undo that. Now, apparently, because they did that once, it's just that's the case forever. Now, from here until evermore, anybody they came across is an asylum seeker and I guess a citizen, and anybody else who wants to come across can use that same app, and it's just that's the way it is. How about we go back and we just undo all of the bad things? It's not actually that complicated or hard to figure out how to do it, only the way this stuff is designed is to get us into these quagmires, is to get us into these circumstances where, okay, implementing this thing is easy and no one's going to really stop you because it's not affecting anybody personally, right? It would take, like, for us to stop the CBP One app, we'd have to, like, file a case showing that the CBP One app was used to hurt us personally, and we'd have to have a dollar amount fixed to it. Like, our system is not set up to deal with these things. What it's set up to do is implement these massive sweeping changes across all of society and then make it impossible to ever get back. They can implement it, no issues, no problems, it's just done. They just destroy the, you know, foundational identity of our country, the fact that we have borders. They just eradicate that. Nobody stops them. They do it with a wave of the hand. But if you want to undo that, it's impossible. Now you're talking about hurting people because, well, people came across here with the CBP One app. They would be the ones who were kicked out. So they are able to hire lawyers with money from NGOs or probably from the government themselves and argue, hey, this change in law hurts me personally. I need an injunction. And so they can implement this stuff with no barriers. To undo it is impossible. And this is ridiculous and a game they're playing. And I say we flip the board and do what we need to anyway, because we're trying to save the country and in effect the world here. So what are we waiting for? Well, we're waiting for Tiffany Cianci. Is she on? Have we connected with Tiffany? I understand we have. Tiffany Cianci is an activist raising awareness about the critical threat that private equity poses to American society. She's raising the alarm and putting pressure on private equity firms that are covertly monopolizing entire industries by using hostile takeovers and kangaroo courts. You can learn how to fight back by following her on X at The Vino Mom or by going to TiffanyCianci.com. But of course, she's here to talk about pesticides. You keep a lot of plates spinning in the air, Tiffany, and have your finger on a lot of pulses of what's going on. And it's all terrible. Everything happening to us is terrible, but we're happy to have you to explain it to us. Welcome to the show, Tiffany.
I apologize in advance. I'll try not to black pill any more than I absolutely have to.
Yeah, I don't know if you can black pill any more than I am at this point with the war in Iran and then everything else going on. But let's get right down to it. What has happened today? I know you have some exclusive information for us. Lay it out for us. What are you here to tell the people?
Today's been a really hard day for MAHA. There's been some good stuff and there's been some bad stuff. One, the state of Kentucky, the Modern Ag Alliance was trying to force through pesticide immunity there, as they have already done in Georgia and North Dakota and are trying to do in Tennessee, Missouri, and a dozen other states. They've been spending a ton of money buying people in the legislature, and they got pesticide immunity through 11 days ago. And then the governor vetoed it. He's like, absolutely not. You know, we here in Kentucky are a state built on farmers, and our farmers, if they get injured, they need to be able to sue. Well, today the Republican supermajority overrode the veto and granted pesticide immunity to Bayer Monsanto.
Whoa. All right. So they passed pesticide immunity, which is bad. We do not want pesticide immunity. We want Bayer Monsanto to be able to be sued by people who they give cancer to. So they passed the immunity bill. The governor actually vetoes it. That's surprising. Something good happening. And then they overrode that with it. That's how much they care about this. That's how much they're able to unify in the Republican Party for Kansas for this utterly damaging and horrible law. We can come together about something.
Party line vote. Yeah, it was all Republicans. Really disappointing. It's been relentless this entire legislative term, not just in the states, not just in the federal level. We've seen pesticide immunity popping up in every state that has significant numbers of farmers or farming as a significant point of GDP for them, and it's all been funded. I don't want to point out, Bayer Monsanto is a German company.
Right.
They're not Americans. This is a German company spending tens of millions of dollars to avoid tens of billions of dollars in liability for killing our farmers. And they are spending tens of millions of dollars this legislative session to save themselves tens of billions. Well, so today, one good thing that we did have happen is we had three groups that are MAHA aligned submit amicus briefs to the Supreme Court, asking the Supreme Court to not grant pesticide immunity at their oral arguments on April 27th. And Senator Cory Booker also had his staff submit an amicus brief saying that American farmers need to be able to have a private right of action to sue a company that knowingly withholds information or fails to provide information that they are prone to giving you cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, liver disease, kidney disease. Like, these are things that, first of all, glyphosate seems to be the pesticide that is primarily at the heart of these issues. Well, oftentimes our EPA has relied on a study they've cited that said that glyphosate was safe. That study has now been overturned by courts that found out that Bayer Monsanto and their allies funded that study and had their own sources ghostwrite it. Wow. So it's no longer valid. It's been vacated. Wow. But that's the study they're relying on to say, oh, we said it was safe, so nobody should be able to sue when we kill them.
And this
these are farmers, these are children.
This is a very common thing. Monsanto and Bayer, I mean, they've been discovered having, you know, black ops sections in their company that are there to intimidate journalists to stop them from saying the truth about pesticides, allegedly, I should add. But, I mean, this has been written about for years. I mean, they spend a lot of money and they work very hard to make sure that this information is not available.
Correct. And, you know, when you see, aside from TikTok ban, I have never seen anything outside of funding our greatest ally that has ever cropped up over and over again in a legislative session like absolute cancer, like a virus. We have defeated pesticide immunity literally a dozen times this legislative session. The American people have made it clear 98% of them do not support this. They don't want pesticide immunity granted to these companies because what company has ever needed immunity when they weren't doing anything wrong?
Right.
We know that farmers are getting sick. We know these farmers are dying of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma at rates thousands of times higher than the next closest profession.
Yep.
We know it's not all the fresh air. We know it's not all the good food. It's their exposure to pesticides. We know that.
Of course. And some of the biggest decisions ever have come out of these cases about Roundup causing cancer. I mean, it's been proven over and over again. And you're right. It's just this relentless push, and we have to constantly be fighting back. All they need to do is win once. We have to win every time to fight this back. It's so ridiculous. And, I mean, just the more you think about it, the more crazy it is, because obviously with any other product, you'd say, hey, you know what? If it's really dangerous and you can't sue, don't use the product. But you're not able to not use these products because of the genetic modification. So this is absolutely something that they need to be able to be sued for.
Yeah. You know, right now we have literally a 20-front war on this pesticide initiative, right? We have them fighting in every state in the United States. We have them fighting with multiple mechanisms, multiple weapons. They're trying to do it in state legislatures. They're trying to do it through, look what happened in Florida. They almost got through an anti-First Amendment bill that said, if you said anything bad about a pesticide, you could be held liable for defamation without cause.
Crazy.
Okay, that was very narrowly defeated, right? We have it going on in Tennessee, Missouri. We see it in Georgia. They've already gotten it through in Georgia and North Dakota. They're trying to do it in North Carolina right now. We narrowly defeated it in Wyoming, where it's finally dead. But now they're also doing it in bill after bill after bill at the federal level. We saw it in the appropriations bill in the Senate and the appropriations bill in the House. And now, just in the last couple of weeks, they've snuck it back into the farm bill.
No.
The same bill that President Trump just toted out at the White House, brought hundreds of farmers to show them how much he loves farmers, and says that he is pushing for an immediate passage of this farm bill. Of course he is. Bayer Monsanto has given his administration $9.125 million. He has 19 Bayer Monsanto planted officials in this administration right now, starting with his chief of staff, Susie Wiles, and going all the way down to the mailroom. Of course he is.
I'm sorry.
Why can't we pass a farm bill that's good for farmers instead of mega corporations?
I don't know. It really is utterly outrageous. And again, it's like, okay, farmers just not going to vote for Trump anymore. I mean, that's like almost impossible to ask too. And look, I'm not a big fan of Cory Booker. I'm a big fan of him putting an amicus brief before the Supreme Court to stop pesticide immunity. So it's like, Just add it to the list of things that Republicans should be the champions of. We should be the champions of farmers. We should be the champions of small businesses. We should not allow these big corporations that are globalist and totally anti-American to come in and literally kill our farmers with no recompense. I mean, unbelievably outrageous, as always, as it continues to be. More with Tiffany Cianci on the other side. Follow her on X at The Vino Mom. Don't go anywhere.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it, I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62, that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells, And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN Zone website. They admit it. Over 2 million people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where to put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on it since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product, it's supposed to be available right now at theallthesealsword.com, is T3. It's X2 back even better at theallthesealsword.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theallthesealsword.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells, the methylene blue. And iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, folks, some interesting things are happening with the planned Artemis launch, the moon mission, now scheduled to launch right about now, right around now. Crew's keeping an eye on it, and they're like, well, they just changed the clock to 20 minutes. Well, now it's 10 minutes. Now we're looking at it 2 minutes. 2 minutes and 4 seconds, Artemis 2 launch, T-minus 2 minutes. Of course, my guest is Tiffany Cianci. Tiffany, we're going to take how you feel about taking a minute here to celebrate America doing something that I'm not going to complain about. The American government able to do something. Who's going to complain about shooting a rocket to the moon? Somebody, I'm sure. But hey, we can still achieve great things, can't we, Tiff?
You know, I've spent the entire week watching viral videos about it being fireball season. So I'll take anything good in space right now. Let's do it.
Yeah, well, and I don't know. I saw some people make statements today. I didn't realize there was an Australian senator who said that, you know, aliens are here, but of course they're so many hours ahead. It was April 1st for them, so April Fool's Day, I guess, is confusing people. Let's keep the video up.
Gates,
all right, yeah, we're gonna pull up the site here so we can watch it launch in T-minus 1 minute and 4 seconds. So what are your thoughts on this, Tiffany? I mean, I feel like any other time period there'd be a great, you know, media focus on this. This is a big deal. I mean, we're going back to the moon for the first time in like 40 years or more. But it's like, I didn't even know it was happening until earlier today. This is just what happens, I guess.
I feel like this could have been such an opportunity for just unifying moment of American exceptionalism. And unfortunately, we've been doing so many things recently that have undermined generally the working class belief system in American exceptionalism and their ability to participate in that promise, that we've missed an opportunity here because of so many promises that have been broken. So I love the idea of taking a minute. I love the idea of seeing us go back to the moon. I wish we could have done it under better circumstances with more promise and more hope for everybody else.
30 seconds to launch. Looks like they're firing the engines now.
4, 3, 2.
Full screen, guys.
Booster ignition and lift off. The crew of Artemis II now bound for the moon. Humanity's next great voyage begins.
The vibrations are cutting the signal off from the cameras close by there.
Good roll pitch.
Okay.
Oh, man, I would love...
Roll pitch.
Well, I'd love to just see one of these.
Houston now controlling the flight of integrity on the Artemis II mission around the moon.
We don't have a live view from inside the cockpit.
You know, there was a cockpit view earlier. They're obviously not showing it now, but they were... You could see the big screens and everything. Yeah, it seems like we should be able to have an inside view. That is pretty incredible. What do you think? Well, if they actually live stream their entire trip to and around the moon, will people believe it, Tiffany? That's the answer. Do we have the ability to believe our government is capable of such things? Or is this all a flat Earth psyop by NASA? Tiffany, thoughts?
You know, honestly, if so many conspiracy theories hadn't been proven true this year, I could give you a solid answer on that.
Right. Right. Well, it's...
I imagine we're going to give people lots of work to do, and we're going to see a whole lot of creators getting a lot of content out of this.
Hopefully so. Man, it really is an amazing sight. And yeah. So far, so good. Knock on wood, but...
I'm holding my breath. I have second grade trauma.
I know. That's what I was... But usually, I don't even want to say it, but... So far, so good. We'll just say that.
I'm not saying it. You're not saying it.
They're approaching the firmament.
See them get up there, and it's going to be great.
they're approaching the firmament. They're about to break through the ice wall and make their way back to Earth because space is fake, and we all know it. I'm not supposed to say that. Sorry, the crew's telling me I'm not supposed to say that.
We are not supposed to say that. I've been told that as well.
Man.
So we're going to see boosters separate here. Why did the camera just move?
What a...
Confirmed separation.
Man, what an experience.
Why aren't we seeing the separation?
Oh, there's the
separation. Okay.
They didn't show the separation. That's the coolest part.
No, they pan the camera away.
We got to see a couple of big fat tourists instead.
Performance nominal, upper stage RCS ready.
Wow, so there you go.
Copy all.
What is that?
I think that was a shot from the actual shuttle itself.
Integrity. SM
seemed like it.
Complete.
Now, I wonder, so obviously this is a NASA launch. I wonder if how much SpaceX is involved. I wonder if those boosters are the self-landing boosters or if they're just going to get dumped in the ocean like the shuttle's system was.
Artemis boosters are really, really large, so I don't know if they're the re-land ones. I didn't know because they didn't really announce this was happening very well.
I know, that's the
thing.
I didn't
do any research to get ready for this.
Wow.
Okay, so that's moving. That's good, I think.
Wow, that looks incredible. Oh, and then it looks like another stage deployment there.
Uh-huh.
All right, folks. Okay. Well, there you just saw it live, the live launch of Artemis in the first moon mission since, I guess, the 70s, right?
That's what they tell us.
I see. It's like, you're an expert on this, right, Tiffany? When was the last time when... Wow. No, it's really, that is...
All I know is I've heard that they could call back on a landline live.
Right. Well, there
seems
is
weird.
Well, We'll
that
see.
That seems really weird given the delays we know are likely from the moon. But that's what they told me. So here I am.
Dangerous thoughts you're having there. Okay. Okay. According to the White House, for the first time in over 50 years, America is going back to the moon. Artemis II, among the most powerful rockets ever built, is launching our brave astronauts farther into deep space than any human has ever gone. We are winning. Well, I guess we're winning the battle against gravity. Everything else not going so well for us. Okay.
Yeah. All right. That's probably accurate. Okay, we'll take it. I'll take a win. A win is a win.
A win is a win. A win is a win. And hey, they're just proving that if things go bad here, maybe there is a way off this godforsaken planet once and for all. Maybe we'll all go live on the moon one day.
I am really surprised we don't have a cockpit image, though.
Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting.
That's very odd to me.
Well, we'll start the list.
We always have cockpit images from the SpaceX flights and from the Blue Origin flights.
True. I wonder if there's not broadcasting them, and if we'll see it a little bit later. Okay, well that was well worth it.
Yeah, maybe they'll release it later.
That was well worth it. That's very exciting, and it's good to see Americans come together. You know, I was talking to my father-in-law a long time ago. We were all sitting around and sort of talking about, like, if you had a time machine, where would you go back to? And his answer was, I wish I could have been a part of the space program, right? Because he was a little kid at the time, but the way he described, like, it's just thousands of people, the whole nation, really, it felt like all came together, and all that energy and all that effort went into this one thing. And then there's this one little canister on top of this tower sized rocket. And it's just like, there's something beautiful about all this cooperation to do something, you know, brilliant and amazing. And it'd be nice to recapture some of that. It feels like we've lost everything about that, the cooperation, the cohesiveness, the reaching for the stars. I mean, all of that has been just degraded and destroyed over time. It'd be nice to recapture that feeling once again, Tiffany.
I can't agree with you more. You know, my big thing is bridging the divide. I preach constantly that we have 93% of our values in common with the people we think we have the least in common with. We have so much that should be uniting us right now. So much. And instead, we allow ourselves to be divided by a handful of billionaires that want to keep us where we are, not trusting one another, and for some reason, trusting them with everything.
No.
I'd much rather trust my neighbors.
Yeah, it's really inexplicable how they've pulled the wool over everybody's eyes. It's, you know what it is, right? You know the secret to how they pulled this off. It's the pink sweaters. Bill Gates put on a pink sweater, and suddenly nobody thinks he's up to no good. It's like crazy, but it legitimately is like Larry Fink and Bill Gates. They put on pink sweaters when they do, media appearances, and suddenly people think that they love us. They're just spraying particles in the air to block out the sun because they care so much about you. It's like, how did we ever fall for any of this crap?
Yeah, I feel like people are falling for less and less of it, though, and that gives us an opportunity for unity.
It does. And again, it's interesting that you have everything that you're describing. I mean, just the pesticide, the relentless push to legalize killing you with pesticides, I think is one way to put it. And on the same day, I guess this was from a week ago, the first day I saw it, 2026 Dirty Dozen produce, nearly 100% test positive for pesticides, including forever chemicals. Leafy greens such as spinach and perennial kid favorites such as strawberries and grapes held the highest level of potentially harmful pesticide residues based on government tests, according to the 2026 Shopper's Guide to Pesticides and Produce. Nectarines, peaches, cherries, apples, blackberries, pears, potatoes, and blueberries filled out this year's Dirty Dozen, the most pesticide-laden fruits and vegetables, according to the report released Tuesday by the Environmental Working Group, or EWG, a health advocacy organization. And of course, pesticides, they're not going to be removed with a little splash of water from your sink, right? I mean, these pesticides are extremely damaging. They know that they're damaging. And again, this is sort of the foreknowledge, you know, condemning thing about this is, if they didn't know that their product causes cancer, then they wouldn't fake the tests that you were describing about glyphosate being safe. So they did the same thing with atrazine. They knew atrazine would affect people's hormones. They knew it could, you know, affect wildlife everywhere. They deliberately went out and hid that information and lobbied the government to not have to provide that information. That is a guilty conscience. That's evidence of foreknowledge. What they're doing is not an accident. It's not a unfortunate side effect of just good business. They are literally deliberately doing things that hurt us. I think that's an important point that not everybody grasps.
You know, we saw the same thing with DuPont. And if anyone's seen the movie Dark Water, then we all know that DuPont did the same thing with Teflon. They knew it was killing the women on the line. It was causing birth defects. It was causing cancers. They were leaching it down into water supplies that were killing entire farms of cattle and then the farmers. And they knew. And they told the government it was safe. And they buried it in reports and thought they could ride it out long enough to avoid any liability. And we're just seeing the exact same playbook. Wash, rinse, repeat. You know, American farmers, they have it hard enough. American farmers, we're seeing American farms go out of business at a rate we've never seen before in American history. We are seeing generations of new farmers that know that there's no future refusing to pick up the shovel, genuinely. Yeah. Because they know that right now, four companies, four international, non-American monopolies have consolidated all of the farming supply chain into a vertical that they control. And as long as they know what you're going to be paid for your crop, they can maximize extorting every single penny from you so that you never move ahead. Right now, farmers are making the equivalent of the exact same price they were getting in like 1986 for their crops. Their crops have gone down since the 90s.
And of course,
yet these companies are posting record profits.
Yeah.
These international, non-American companies that make their money off of the backs of the exceptionalism of our American farmers that serve American mouths, American children, American schools, Americans. And these international monopolies are exploiting them. They are extorting them. They are making sure that they never, ever can see its success. And then they're rolling up the farmland that does fail, buying it for pennies on the dollar and consolidating that into their verticals. And yep. Selling off the water rights to data centers.
Oh, my God.
It's vulgar.
That is a whole other can of worms, and I do want to get into that because that's extremely important right now because we still have a chance to stop this stuff from coming into fruition. They're trying to very quietly install these data centers everywhere, and it literally takes all of our water and the entire purpose of them. I mean, they're building prison camps, essentially. That's what's happening. So we got to get to that. But when it comes to glyphosate and the pesticides, you know, what strikes me is that we have all of this new technology, AI and laser, and of course, I'm sure you've seen and we've played on here the, you know, examples of prototypes where you got a big machine that just scans plants and zaps each little. What they're doing by forcing pesticides and by demanding people use pesticides and by genetically engineering food so that it requires pesticides is they're preventing any sort of novel invention, any sort of change in operation that typically, like, this is how we arrive on a better technology, more efficient, you know, strategy is, hey, one thing we were doing isn't working so well. We got to come up with something new. But they're basically preventing that new thing from ever occurring by forcing pesticides to be the one thing that you can use to get rid of, you know, bugs and things that eat plants. So,
and they couldn't do it if American farmers didn't need farm bills and bailouts, and all of the subsidies that we're giving to American farmers are being lobbied for by these multinational conglomerates, these monopolies, and they're tying the subsidies we give our farmers to forced use of that money to buy pesticides.
Right.
Farmers don't want to use this money for pesticides. Farmers would love to do more organic farming. They would love to do more regenerative farming. They would love to take care of our soil and love to take care of our children with healthy food. And instead, to survive as a farm, these corporations have forced through their will, through our government, through lobbying, to make it so any money that we subsidize farmers with is tied directly to handing it back to them.
Yep.
Either through their GMO seeds that are Roundup ready or the forced use of Roundup and glyphosate. You know, a huge percentage of glyphosate that's used in America is being force used as a desiccant. Yeah. If you don't know what that means, it means they spray it on wheat and it dries it out faster. You know how much time it saves? 3 days. 3 days. It saves 3 days. Yeah, and because it's tied to force use in subsidies, our farmers are spraying it on every grain of wheat that comes out of the ground in America. And that's why we have organic bread, right? Like Dave's, that's supposed to be organic bread that's not filled with pesticides, that is the highest instance of glyphosate in a recent study of any bread brand.
Whoa. Now, explain that to people, because I remember learning this and like having to read it a couple times. You're like, there's no way I'm getting this right. Because we think pesticides, we think, okay, well, there's bugs or there's weeds that are destroy the crop, so you got to take care of them. This is after the crops have grown, after they've been harvested, they then desiccate it, which means drying out by using the pesticide. So it's total. I mean, is this necessary? I feel like I'm not, you know.
No, it's not.
I would think not.
It's not necessary at all. It would not be in use the way that it is were it not that these four corporations control our farmers by controlling every step and every penny they get. And they've forced it to a point where those 3 days matter enough that the subsidies force them to use this as a desiccant. And it creates a constant stream of income for Bayer Monsanto, in particular, their agricultural division, that also creates a constant stream of income for their ready GMO seeds that work best using it as a desiccant. And as a result, we end up with sick farmers and sick children and a sick population where we have out of control chronic disease and we refuse to do anything that actually fixes it. Because if we do anything that actually fixes it, it hurts a mega corporation that made record profits this year, bringing in $100 billion while our farmers went bankrupt at unprecedented rates. It's appalling.
It is. It's absolutely appalling. It's unnecessary. It's just. It's beyond thievery. I was going to say it's just naked thievery, but no, it's thievery, but the thief stabs you on his way out. I mean, they're actually hurting us. So it's not even just that the money is the big issue. It's the money on top of the widespread cancer that's obviously killing tons of farmers. It's just, this is so ridiculous. What can we do to fight back against this? Obviously, Cory Booker seems to be leading the charge on this. I mean, how legitimate do you think his push is? How likely do you think it is that this actually has a tangible effect?
Right now, I can say 98% of Americans support a private right of action to be able to sue when a pesticide injures a farmer or an American. Right. 98% of America wants this. Now, the only way we're going to push it through is if we can get bipartisan sponsorship. And the Farm Bill is going to be headed to the Senate very, very soon. We need co-sponsors in the Senate. We also have the No Glyphosate Immunity Act in the House that is co-sponsored by Ro Khanna, Thomas Massey, Representative Luna, and a host of others, right? So we have these two bills that can be reconciled on the cross. We also are calling on everybody to meet us in D.C. on April 27th. I'm going to be there. There's a whole bunch of creators that are going to be there. There's going to be a rally on the Supreme Court steps. We're all going to be speaking. We're all going to be calling all day long. But right now, in three states in America as of today, in Kentucky, North Dakota, and Georgia, farmers that are dying because of Bayer Monsanto can no longer sue them. Without codifying this bill, this private right of action that Cory Booker introduced, they never will. But we can restore that capability in the federal courts by passing this bill that 98% of Americans support.
Yep. And again, this is somewhere
where... Don't worry, though. We can get through a TikTok ban on 3 days' notice. Don't worry. We can get through funding for our allies on a day's notice. I would love to see us actually pass something for the American people. That would be great.
No, it's almost an inverted relationship between the desires of the American people and what the government is willing to do. Iran war, deeply unpopular. Everybody hates it. Doesn't matter. We're doing it anyway for as long as necessary to achieve whatever
Which,
the hell.
Which, by the way, has increased fertilizer costs by 48% in the United States in 3 weeks at planting season. We're in planting season right now. And our farmers just saw a 48% increase. How much more can we ask them to bear?
It's an interesting choice of words. How much can we ask them to bear, Monsanto? But you're exactly right. I didn't even think about that. The fertilizer holdup is just another attack on farmers on top of everything else. I didn't even think about that in relation to the what's going on with Bayer Monsanto. Yeah, they're getting raked over the coals, absolutely, and it's these big multinational corporations that are getting bailed out. It really is despicable. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons not to vote for Republicans these days. Obviously, the Iran war is one of them. If the Democrats are a party saying, hey, we're going to get poison out of your food and water, might be a good reason to vote for them. It might actually benefit us a little bit. And it's another place where Republicans should be the champions, but they have willingly abandoned the field for the Democrats to take it over. That's their fault. If they don't want people voting Democrat, then they should champion this stuff. Obviously, Thomas Massey is, and he's being kicked out of the GOP. So that's where we're at.
Yeah, I believe that this is a unifying issue. This should not be a partisan issue. There's nothing partisan about this. We want healthy children. We will not have an American population of children to be our next generation of excellence if we're making them all chronically sick. There is a reason they just increased the age for which you can serve in the military. It's because we have so many sick children that we won't have enough in the instance of a need for a draft to actually draft enough soldiers. So they've increased it to 42.
God.
We don't have enough qualifying children to send to war. So they've increased it because our kids are too sick. But by all means, let's give them some more glyphosate and let's ban their ability to sue the company that's killing our farmers and our kids. Totally fine.
And that's not even getting it.
We have to stand together.
And this is just like the most like apparent stuff where it's just like, okay, this guy used Roundup every day for 5 years and he got cancer in the place where he held the can or whatever. Like, you know, it's just like very obvious where it came from. But when you think about the other pesticides like atrazine and the classic meme of, you know, they're turning the freaking frogs gay. I mean, there's subtle damage to humans that are being done, you know, that pesticides do to humans that you can't even really tell, you know, what effect it's having. It's just sort of after a couple generations, everybody's sick and stupid, and this is why. So, like, the danger of this is so much more even than just the cancer stuff. That's just the most apparent and horrifying effects, and that's what they're trying to conceal.
Correct. Correct. And there are many, many new pesticides. Right now, there was also a recent study that looked at how many of the required by law pesticides were actually labeling cancer risks on their bottles that were required by our EPA to put it there. And it was like 1.6%.
Well, they don't have
to
follow
the law. We don't enforce our laws against corporations. We only enforce them against everyday Americans, and it's exhausting.
It really is. So it's good to see Cory Booker doing this. I would love some Republicans to jump on this with him. What else? What else can we do? We have about a minute left. Of course, people can follow my guest, Tiffany Cianci, at The Vino Mom on X. Her website is TiffanyCianci.com. In the last minute, what do people need to know about what's happening right now?
The answer is, if you're in the D.C. metro area or you want to jump on a train on the Eastern Seaboard, come meet us on April 27th at the Supreme Court steps. We'll be there at 9 a.m. and all day long. You guys can be calling and contacting your senators, your representatives. We need to get co-sponsorship for both of these bills in the House and the Senate. We need to make it known in every state in the United States that you will not tolerate a state initiative. If you are in Tennessee, if you are in any of the Farm Belt states, you need to be contacting your legislators now and getting ahead of what they're trying to do to your children and your farmers, because they're not for sale. You need to say that no on pesticide immunity, period.
I think April 27th needs to be the American version of what the Europeans have been doing. I think you need a bunch of farmers bringing tractors full of manure to drop on the steps of Congress. Maybe that will get through. April 27th, the big protest. We need this for the survival of our nation and our children. Thank you, Tiffany, so much.
So, CIA declassified documents last week. Operation Artichoke to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now, new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up, go to the UN's own website, they admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel, so good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexandstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better. At thealexandstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, We have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, theelementsofstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at theelementsofstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.